Awesome. Let's read from Luke chapter 8. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than it was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." I'm going to pass it over to Rev Winston, who will preach from this now.
Thanks, Justin. Good afternoon, 4 p.m. Hope you're doing well. If you're new to our church, my name is Winston, and I'd love to get to know you better if we haven't met before. So we're looking at this parable that was just read to us. I do encourage you to have it open. There are no slides tonight, so God's word should be a help to you. You have it open in front of you as I preach. Let's commit this time to God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege that we can quiet ourselves before you, Lord, and to listen to you. We pray, God, as we look at this parable that some of us might know very well, we pray, God, that you would make it afresh to us, Lord. You'd really teach us what it is that you want us to do with it, Lord. Use it, Lord, to shape our hearts, shape our minds, to shape how we think about your word and how we listen to it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so some of you might not know this. Sorry, am I muted? Thumbs up, I'm okay. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Some of you might not know this, but I have three brothers. And growing up with three brothers was, as you can expect, pretty interesting. Four boys in a house. We got up to quite a lot of fights, actually, but there was also a lot of fun. So most days after school and on weekends, we would be outside playing all sorts of sports, two-on-two soccer or two-on-two footy, two-on-two tennis, two-on-two cricket, two-on-two handball. We had heaps and heaps of fun, four boys in a house. But every now and then, mum and dad would try and stop us from having fun. And so they would call out to us, "That's enough. Time to do homework. Or stop playing. You've got to clean your room first." And do you think we boys listened? No way. You know, why would we stop our fun to clean up our room and do homework? We didn't want to do that at all. But, you know, there was one thing which got us listening to mum all the time, and that was when she would come outside and she would call out to us playing in the backyard, "Sek Fanla." Now, if you know Cantonese, you would know that means time for dinner or time to have food. And we would run inside because we've been playing all day. We're hungry, wash our hands, ready to check out what mum's cooked for us, because mum's a great cook. that would always get our attention. You see, as boys, we really did suffer from this problem of selective hearing. And when I look at my own son now, I think he has the same genetic problem. He's got the same problem of selective hearing. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's not just the problem of kids, is it? It's actually a problem that we adults sometimes have as well. Sometimes there are things that we don't want to listen to and things that we take on very easily. And that can be also when it comes to God's word. There are parts of God's word that we might say, yes, I like that. But other parts of God's word, we might say, no, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to apply that in our lives. We might find it very hard to listen to what God has to say to us. We have this problem of selective hearing and all these different voices from the world coming at us. We accept this, but not accept that. We listen to this, but we don't listen to that. Now, how do we listen to God's word well? And this is what our parable is about this afternoon. This really is the beginning of a series of parables. And this is what commentators often say, the parable of parables. A parable about how to listen well to all of the other parables. And it's commonly known as the parable of the sower, but I prefer to call it the parable of the soils because I think that's more helpful. And the soils is all about how not to listen to God and how to listen to God well. And so this is this parable. Now, what's the context of this parable? We see verse 1 of chapter 8, that Jesus had apparently become pretty popular at this point. He's been traveling from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And when you look back in the previous couple of chapters, you see he's been traveling around. He's been doing all these kinds of miracles. He's even raised someone from the dead. And we read in chapter 8, beginning there, that he's been curing evil spirits and diseases. So he's been doing all these sorts of things. And so in verse 4, we're told a large crowd had gathered and had come to see what Jesus really, what is this Jesus? Who is he? What's he going to say? What's he going to do? Perhaps, you know, in this large crowd, you can imagine that there's a very diverse group of people. Some perhaps are there and they're skeptical. You know, who is this Jesus? Is he a fake? Can I really believe in him? Is his word trustworthy? And there's others who are there perhaps just to, you know, see a miracle, see something spectacular perhaps. And maybe there are some there who are really genuine. Is this guy really from God? Does he have the truth of God? Has he got something important for me to hear, something for me that I need to believe in? So there's this diverse group of people in this crowd. And I would say in our church here this afternoon that there's probably a similar diversity. There's some of you who maybe you come to church and you're like, well, I don't really want to be here. I'm only here for, you know, maybe some other reason. I'm here because I'm interested in a girl and that's why I'm here. Or I'm interested in a boy. That's why I'm here. You might not really be here for God's word. Maybe you're here and, but you've got all these things happening in your life. You've, you know, all these worries, you're thinking about work, insecure about your job, or maybe your finances are a bit of trouble at the moment. And you've got all these distractions as you come to God's word. As you come to church, we all come from different perspectives and we all listen in different ways. Some of us might be really doubting, questioning, and struggling because of all these worries of life and wondering, is there really a God? And that affects how we listen to God. And so just as Jesus asked this crowd, you know, how are you listening to God's word? Do you have ears to hear God? That same question comes to all of us. Do you have ears to hear God? How is your hearing? You see, hearing is believing, but only if our ears are healthy. And we're going to think about how our ears can be unhealthy and how our ears can be healthier. This is what the souls is all about. So Jesus looks out to this large and diverse crowd of people, and he tells them this parable about hearing well. So we see there in verses 5-8, there's this, it's this agricultural story of a farmer, and he's just throwing out seed, sowing seed. He's probably got a bag next to him, and he's grabbing a handful, throwing it out. And as he throws it out, some of it falls onto different places. Some of it falls onto a hard path, some into rocky places, some amongst thorns, and some of it falls amongst the good soil. And these four types of ground or soils are four different ways in which we can listen to God's word, four different ways in which we can listen to Jesus. The first three are ways in which we can listen poorly. And the last way is where we want to be. That's how we can listen well. And so let's have a look at each of these four ways. Jesus explains it to us in verses 11 to 15. So in verse 11, we're told, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. That's what we're trying to take in. If we're the soils, we're trying to take in the word of God. How do we do that well? So the first one is all about the hard path. The first ground is the seed that falls on the hard path, and birds come along and eat up these seeds. And Jesus explains in verse 12 that these are the people who hear the word, but the word hasn't taken root in their heart, and the devil comes and takes it away. It's like the person who, when God's word is spoken to them, they do this. They block their ears. They don't want to listen to God's word. It's the hard heart, the blocked ears. I don't really want to listen to God's word. It's the attitude that says, don't want to listen. And then there are the second one is the soil where the seed falls into rocky places, verse 13. And these are the people who hear the word and they say, yep, this is good. This is terrific. I agree with it. And they might even say, yes, this is good stuff. But since the word of God has taken a root, it only lasts a short time. And we're told in Mark's version of this parable that when trouble or persecution comes, you know, when life is hard, when they're suffering, when things get tough, because the word hasn't taken root, what happens is that they give up. They give up on God. They haven't really believed in God's word. So that's the second one. And the third soil is the seed that falls amongst thorns. And Jesus explains this in verse 14, that these are the people who hear the word. The word has taken some sort of root, but it's not very deep, shallow roots. And it even grows up amongst the thorns. But the problem is that it's growing up in the middle of these thorns, in the middle of all these other things that are competing with God's word. And that's what the thorn bushes represent. All these things that compete for attention of our hearts. And Jesus highlights three major things that often compete for our heart and distract us from God's word. And he says it's the life's worries, riches, and pleasures. These things, they come along and distract us and tempt us. And ultimately, they crowd out, they choke God's word out so that we don't mature, we're told. We don't grow mature in the faith. So that's the third one. And the fourth one is the place where we want to be. This is who we want. We want to be the good soil. And Jesus says in verse 15, these are the people who hear the word, who retain it, and persevere in it. And the result is that the word produces a crop in our life. It multiplies, we're told earlier, 100-fold. And so you get the picture that as we hear the word and retain it and persevere in God's word, we become more and more fruitful. We become better disciples of Jesus, and we get better at listening to God's word. We get better at hearing retaining and persevering in God's word. It's this multiplying a hundredfold list as we listen to God well, we improve at that. And so this parable is all about listening to Jesus. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So I want to ask you, how are you listening to God? When it comes to listening to God, are your ears healthy? Are you hearing well? How do we listen well to God? If hearing is believing, and we need healthy ears in order to hear well, to believe, then what does that look like? You know, our ears are really a gateway into our hearts. And as we hear the word of God, where does that word go? Does it go in one ear and straight out the other? Where does God's word go? Does it take deep root in our hearts? Or does it go maybe in the ear, we agree with it in our head, but we forget it easily and it goes out the other ear because we forget it quickly? Or does it go in and take deep root in our hearts? Now, you've heard the saying, you are what you eat. And to be honest, you know, because of lockdown, I think I'm looking more and more like Korean fried chicken. I don't know what you're looking more and more like, but that's me, I think. And I've put on extra kilos because of that Korean fried chicken that's just across the road. So I've got to get back into non-lockdown mode where I'm actually, you know, more active. But we are more than what we eat, aren't we? We are what we lay our eyes upon. We are what we read and listen to. We are what we absorb in our minds and in our hearts. And as we listen to God's word, what is happening there? Do we hear it, retain it, and persevere in it? Does God's word take deep root in our hearts? Such an important question to ask ourselves. What is happening to us when God's word comes? So I want to give you three very practical applications of how to have healthy ears when it comes to God's word. Three applications: pause, pray, and practice. Pause, pray, and practice. So pause. It's so important, isn't it, that we really take the time to pause, because I don't know about you, but I, you know, we're so busy and it's so easy just to go from one task to the next, one activity to the next, to have one thing after the other that weighs upon our mind, the thing that we're going to do next. And every day we just got all these things happening, and it's so important for us to really pause from all of that, to really declutter, you know, away from all the things that weigh upon our hearts and our minds, all of the worries, all of the troubles, all of the distractions and temptations, all the worries of life that Jesus talks about, the riches and the pleasures that we, you know, ponder on and that we, you know, that attract us. And we need to declutter from all of that and really retreat into God's word, and to really take the time to listen to God's word, to ask the question, you know, not just what does God's word mean intellectually, but what is God's word doing in my heart? Does it stir up my affection for Jesus? Does it give me more confidence in Jesus? Does it fill me with comfort and hope for the future? Is God's word shaping and transforming how I live and the purpose by which I live my life? What is God's word doing in our lives as we hear it? And it's so important for us to pause. You know, one of my mentors, you know, keeps telling me, you got to pause. you know, ministry can be so busy and you've got so many meetings. You got to go from one, you think about one thing, think about the next thing and do one thing, do the next thing. You have to pause regularly every day. Take time, pause and be with God. Just be with God. Don't do ministry. Pause and just be in God's word. And he says, if you can work it out with your wife, what's even better is if you could organize it so that each of you once a quarter or so agree that you'll take Caleb, you'll look after Caleb for that day, and you'll let your wife go and just be with God. Let her spend a whole day with God in his word, and do that for yourself. Agree with your wife. Let your wife take care of Caleb. You go away, go somewhere, sit under a tree with God's word and just reflect with God. How are you going? How are you serving God? How are you reflecting God's word in your life? And so that's one thing which I want to get better at doing, because really my mentor keeps telling me to do this, but I'm just horrible at it. I just get so busy and I just go, well, is it, you know, I keep wondering, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth taking a whole day off just to do this? I've got so many things to think about, so many ministry things to get on top of. It seems like a waste to get away. But what's happening in my mind when I say that? I'm saying, well, there's more important things than God's word. Do we really believe that God's word is a treasure? It's so important for us to shape who we are and how we live. And so if we believe that, we ought to take the time to pause and get away and sit with God, to enjoy him, to enjoy his word, and really soak it deep into our hearts. So that's the first application I want to leave with you. Pause, get away in God's word. The second is pray. Not only should we pause to listen to God's word, another really important habit that I want to encourage you to incorporate into your lives is the habit of praying God's word, to turn God's word into prayer and reflecting his glorious truths of his word back to God and committing them in our lives. I know if I don't do this, if I don't turn God's word into prayer and reflect it back to God, then what happens to my prayers is that prayers just become like this shopping list that I just give to God. God, you know, these are my issues. These are my problems. And that's what my prayer becomes. And so it's important for me to really, when I am in God's word, to reflect those truths back to God, to bring all these truths back to God. It's not just an intellectual exercise, but really it's about my relationship with God. How are the truths that I know about you, God, you know, what do they mean to me? How important are they to me? And, you know, when we pray God's word back to God, it really is a great joy to our God. He loves hearing that, you know, we get it. He loves hearing that we know him and we believe him and we obey him and we want to follow him. We want to serve him. God loves hearing that we get his word, we get the truth. It means something to us, and we pour it out before our God. So let me encourage you to pray God's word, to turn his word into prayer and reflect it back to God in prayer. So that's the second application. And the third application is practice. Practice, putting God's word into practice. It's just so important, isn't it, to put God's word into practice. You know, when we don't put God's word into practice, the book of James says it's like when we, you know, look in a mirror and we just walk away unchanged. We see something, we see a problem, our hair's out of place, or, you know, there's a bit of toothpaste that's stuck in the side of our cheek or something, and we see it, but we walk away and we do nothing about it, right? That's what it is when we look at God's word and God's word is telling us to do something or to stop doing something, but we don't listen. It's like, you know, the word of God is meant to be a mirror showing us this is what needs to change. And this is what you need to believe. And this is how you ought to live. And there's one really important lesson that I've learned in my discipleship is that when God says to me, Winston, you need to stop doing this. And when I ignore that, when I say, God, well, hey, you know, I know you're saying this to me, but let me deal with another time. I enjoy doing this too much, so I'm not going to listen. What happens next time when God comes to me and says, Winston, I've told you, stop doing this. Well, every time I ignore God's word, every time I reject God's word, it makes it easier the next time for me to do the same thing. And a habit forms. And over time, what happens is we grow distant from God's word, become more ignorant of God's word, and God's word becomes less important to us because what we prefer in our own lives becomes more important. So it's so important for us to put God's word into practice. The flip side is true as well, isn't it? When we do put God's word into practice, what happens to our faith? We become stronger in our faith and we get better. Our ears become healthier. We get better at listening to God's word as we put God's word into practice. We get better at listening and obeying God's word. Our ears become healthier and healthier. And in this way, as we practice it more and more, we become more and more fruitful in our lives. God's word bears more and more fruit. So let me encourage you all to pause, to pray, and to practice God's word. Friends, let's be fertile soil, where God's word can really take deep root in our hearts so that our faith in Jesus can, you know, really endure through all of the issues that come at us all throughout our life, whether it's hardship or troubles or suffering, whether there's temptation or the worries of life or, you know, the temptations of wealth and riches or pleasures, whenever they come to us. You know, if God's word has taken deep root in our heart, in our lives, then we can endure through all of that. God's word will sustain us through all of that and help us not only to get through all of those temptations and struggles and troubles, but we're able to keep growing and flourishing and becoming more fruitful. May we truly be a people who hear God's word, retain it deep in our hearts and persevere in it. Let me pray. Our loving God, we thank you for your patience with us. We do ask, God, that you forgive us because often we hear your word, we hear you speaking to us, calling us to do something, calling us to change something, but we ignore it, we reject it, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord, and please give us your spirit so that our hearts may not be hardened, so that we may not block our ears, but we would truly hear your word and we would let it take deep root in our hearts, Lord. May we retain it and persevere in it, Lord, and not give up. So, Father, please make us people who truly listen well to your word. Help us to be fertile soil as you teach us at church and each day as we open up your word. Would you feed our souls and make us better and better listeners of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.